This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
The next reading is from Matthew 2, starting from verse 1. And I just believe that the Lord wants to speak to each one of us. So if we have that ear listening, let's listen to what he has to say. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
And continuing on, Matthew 2, 7 to 12. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We pray, Heavenly Father, we do thank you that the Lord Jesus, who came, who lived, who died, who rose again, and now rules from heaven, we thank you, Lord, that he is ruler and king, and that he is one day returning. And I pray now as we reflect on his birth, please, God, would you be with us, help us direct our thoughts and our hearts that we might love him. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. And if you'd like to just turn back to your Bible and to Matthew chapter 1, where we'll spend most of our time, just a short time, reflecting on this first Christmas story. But I actually want to begin by having you just talk to your neighbour for a moment and asking the question, can you identify more than one thing that would go under the banner of hard but good? We often think of hard as something to be avoided. Hard as bad. But I want to ask the question, are there things that you would categorise as hard but good? Okay, well, turn to your neighbour. You've got 30 seconds. See if you can identify two. Go. Okay, time's up. I didn't give you long. Let's hear just a couple of examples. Can you think of something that is hard but good? Dominic, have you got one?
Exercising.
Hard but good. That's the first one on top of the list, I reckon. Hard but good. someone else. Frith, did you come up with something hard but good? Yeah. Being a Christian at school, yeah. Hard but good. Definitely, thank you. Excellent. Donna, did you get anything? Going to a new church, that can be hard. I agree, yeah. That's hard but good. Anyone else? Different, something different?
Being a parent.
Being a parent. Fantastic. I was thinking of my wife, thinking giving birth to a child, hard but good. Walking up a mountain. Oh, I love walking, but hard. When you get there, good. And as I reflect on daily life, practicing your musical instrument, hard. It seems very hard, but it's good. When you can hear, yeah, well, okay, that's enough.
Saying sorry.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Saying sorry, something I think we all have to do, to be honest. Hard. Hard to swallow your pride. Yeah, hard but good. So good. Well, I want to suggest to you that thinking about the Christmas story under that banner is really helpful. Christmas, we might think of Christmas as non-threatening and nice. The Christmas cards, they just look so nice with the little baby and with the halo and the, you know, the little woolly angel, woolly sheep gathered. It looks so nice and non-threatening. But actually, I want to suggest to you the Christmas story is not non-threatening and nice. It's hard to respond, but good. Good. Let me see if I can convince you of that. Hard but good. I've got three really brief points as we think about Christmas under that category, hard but good. The first point's about God being involved. The second point about Jesus, who he is and what he comes to do. And the third point about us and responding. Let's think hard but good. First point, God being involved. Do you notice that this Christmas story is not easy to receive? There are things that are hard to accept here. For example, Mary getting pregnant without a man. How does that work? Verse 18 says, his mother Mary was pleased to be married, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Here's God's Spirit gently, miraculously bringing new life, implanting new life into her womb. Verse 20 says the same thing, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Without a human intervention, how is it possible for a young woman who's never had children, notice there verse 23 affirms, never had children, how does she suddenly become pregnant? Now, that's hard to understand. Imagine how hard it is to receive if you're Joseph. and as we might have concluded, he concludes, there's another man involved. Verse 19 says, well, he's thinking he's got to find a way of dismissing her quietly. But then through a dream, God intervenes and corrects Joseph's thinking and changes his whole course of action. Well, that's another hard thing to accept, God intervening in a dream. Does your worldview accept something like that happening? I've got to say, for many people, what's real is what we can touch and feel and see with our eyes, and none of those things are what you can touch and see and feel with your eyes. What do you do with this? This is hard. It's not... Now, a number of people will say, look, it's just made up. It's like an invisible friend. It's all make-believe. But God even corrects Joseph on this point. Do you notice verse 24 and 25? He doesn't wake up and shake his head and think, oh, gee, that was a weird dream. I must have had a bad curry last night or something. He actually wakes up. He says, this really is of God. And he changes his course of action. The first Christmas tells of a God who comes and intervenes. He's involved in this, involving himself in this world. And the Bible, from beginning to end, tells of a God who made this world, who's master of this world, who, as well as being involved in it. I think this is the first thing it's hard to get our heads around. But if we are willing to accept that God is both master of this world and involved in it, well, we'll come to see that he's involved for our good. That he doesn't leave us to face what we deserve, but actually to intervene for our good. This is the first thing, hard but good. Second point about Christmas, hard but good, is Jesus, his person and his work. And here we're focusing on the two names that we get in our passage. Emmanuel refers to who he is, and Jesus, what he's come to do. Let's take those two names one at a time. So Emmanuel first, see there, verse 23, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew actually is here teaching us some Old Testament Hebrew, if you don't mind, because that word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word. Imanu, the one with us, El, God, the God who's come to be with us, Imanu El. And you can spell it, by the way, with an I or an E. They're both correct. Because I often got confused. Like, we've spelled it here with an I, but actually some of our songs spell it with it. Both are the correct spelling. It's fine. And the name conveys the stunning reality of who Jesus is. He's fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and fully human, born of Mary. Now right through history, people have found that concept, fully God and fully man in the one Jesus Christ, many people found it so hard to accept. So it's no surprises if you do the same, if you find it hard. What it's teaching is that Jesus is not merely a good man or the best of people. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses would tell you that. But this is telling us something very different, that he's both fully human and fully divine in the one, Emmanuel. God come to be one with us. God the Son, through whom all things were made, now here in the middle of history, adding humanity to his divinity, being knit together in his mother's womb, comes to share our life completely, though without sin, so that we might share his life entirely and live with God forever. Oh, it's stunning. Do you believe this? It's not easy to believe, I acknowledge it, but it's wonderful. So good. Emmanuel means God come to be one with us. Let's go to the second name, Jesus, verse 21. And it's so helpful here that Matthew gives us the meaning of the names. Don't you like that? Name him Jesus because, here's the meaning, he will save his people from their sins. So whenever you hear the name Jesus, you ought to think, oh, Saviour, Rescuer, the one that's come to be involved to help us. And we do need help. What's the help that it suggests that we need? The one who will save his people from their sins. We might not feel like we need help. We might think, well, I'm not a bad person. And maybe that's true. Just that while we're not as bad as we might be, neither are we as good as we should be. The Bible's clear teaching. Like he says, what are the things that people should give their time and attention to? Jesus says there's just two things. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbour like yourself. They're the two great commands. And as soon as we sort of think, oh, love God with everything I've got, love my neighbour as well, as soon as we set ourselves to do that and try, and might we will try. But on both fronts we fail. None do all the right that we should. None do all of the loving things towards our neighbours that we ought. All of us do the wrong we shouldn't do. And the fair and right consequence for these sins, what the Bible calls, is not merely community service or cash payment, not even a jail sentence. The right penalty for not loving God as we should is death away from God forever. Only that Jesus comes to save us from that death away from God forever through the cross and comes to bring us into living relationship with the living God forever. Jesus who will save his people from their sins. And he comes to save everyone who needs saving, and that includes you and it includes me. Well, while some people feel like they need no help, do you know, other people are afraid to ask. But with the New Testament, time and time and time again, do you know what the encouragement is? It's do not be afraid. We see it here with Joseph and Mary in this interchange with the angel. Do not be afraid. Jesus himself says, believe in me. Believe in my work that saves you. Believe in me and live, he says. Do you see how the Christmas cards that have the nice picture just fall so far short of this message, which is really good? There are things that are hard to accept. Stars that sort of wander through the sky and end up at Bethlehem and Mary getting pregnant without human. There are things that are hard to accept, but good. Oh, and Jesus himself, Emmanuel, Jesus, those hard but good. Let's think, third and last thing, Jesus' authority in our response. We've talked about Jesus' names, but we haven't yet mentioned his title, Messiah. You can tell from Matthew, the gospel writer, the one thing he wants you to get of Jesus is that he's the Messiah. You can see there from chapter 1, verse 1. This is the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus the Messiah. And in our passage, verse 18, when Matthew introduces Jesus, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Now, the Bible footnote tells you that Messiah and Christ are interchangeable words. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. They both mean God's anointed king. We might have thought that Christ was his surname. Excuse me, Mr. Christ, Mr. Christ. No. It's his title. It's his kingly role. He's God's anointed one. He's the king that's come to reverse the curse and bring the blessing promised to Abraham. He's the king long promised to David. If you've only ever heard of Jesus' name as a swear word, you might not have appreciated that he comes to be in charge. But the notion of Messiah is one of king come to rule. And come to rule over all people. We get that in chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, out of you, Bethlehem, will come a ruler. And one who will shepherd my people, Israel. Well, at the start of Matthew's gospel, we're thinking how Jesus fulfills all of the Old Testament promises. By the end of Matthew's gospel, that they're to take this news about Jesus to all people in all nations. He's a ruler for everyone, including for you and me. And as soon as we feel his claim of authority over us, we might think, oh, but I don't want a ruler. I'm happy on my own. And if you read Matthew's gospel, I hope you will read through Matthew's gospel this Christmas. Plenty of people think that way. Even Herod, King Herod, tries to kill Jesus because I don't want a king. I'm king. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. But do you know, Jesus hasn't come to be a cruel taskmaster. He's no human tyrant. We're used to those. The Bible describes Jesus in chapter 2, verse 6 as a shepherd. A loving shepherd. Come to rule people for their good. Come to lead people in good ways. Come to lead people to, as they love, obey and submit to him, find the life with God that he offers. Do you notice? Joseph gladly obeys. He's a picture. He's an example. When he's thinking to do one thing and then the dream that corrects him, he completely changes course and all that he's told to do, he does. This is what it means to be shepherded, led by Jesus. Oh, his rule over us will cost us as we say no to just pleasing self or no to doing what I want and serving self. But his rule's good. He leads us to love God. He leads us to love our neighbour. He leads us even to say sorry and things like that. Now it's time to finish. All I've tried to do is say there's two ways of receiving the Christmas story. There's the non-threatening, nice way of the Christmas cards. That won't make any claim over you. It'll just make you think, oh, how nice. And on the 26th, we'll just put it away for another year. But there is this way, the Bible's way. This true Christmas account. Where actually Jesus comes, Emmanuel, come to save us from our sins, come to rule over us as our King, leading us to submit to his good rule and to receive him as Messiah. Well, so there's two ways. Which is it for you, the Christmas cards or the Bible's way? Can I suggest, if you've been a Christian a long time, today's a great day to renew your love for this Messiah King. And we're going to sing a song in a moment, adore him. We don't use that language much, adore. What do you adore? Well, we are right to adore Jesus Christ. Can I say, if you're not a Christian here today, today's a great day to come to Christ, to see him as the good King that he is and submit to him. To set yourself on the path of trusting him, following him, receiving his work for you to save you from your sins. If you need help, if you want to pray with someone, please don't leave today without doing that. But which is it? The Christmas card version, the Bible's version? Which will it be for you? Let me pray and then we're going to sing that song, Adore. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for sending Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, God, that you're a God who's interested and involved in this world. And that though we sin and wander away from you, you don't leave us to our own devices, but provide everything necessary that we might love you, come to you and live for you. So, God, work in us today, we pray. Renew our love for Jesus Christ. Please give us your Spirit's strength to respond to him and to live for him. We're confident to ask, God, because you are a loving God. So please hear and answer our prayers as is best for us and brings you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.